And let us continue in prayer. Father, we praise you for all you have created, from the smallest creature and plant to the largest living thing. Your handiwork is amazing. And now, as autumn takes hold, the colours are incredible. We praise you that with you nothing is impossible, and even before we knew it, you were touching our lives and preparing them to be filled with your love. We praise you that your presence and power still transforms the world and the lives of your people. We praise you for being our light in the darkness and our peace in the confusion of life. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you now to say that we are sorry for being too busy to say our prayers, for not listening to you, for not giving time to other people, for putting off things that we know we ought to do. We are sorry, Lord, for these things mentioned and the other things which have made us fall short of the person you expect us to be. Thank you, Lord, that however busy we may think we are, you are never too busy to listen to us and are always there for us. Thank you that when we ask to be forgiven and are truly sorry, you answer our prayer. We thank you for always being there and for knowing what we need better than we do ourselves. Help us to find times of silence so that we can be close to you and learn more about how you want us to live. For Jesus' sake, amen. And we're now going to sing the Lord's Prayer, and it's the Caribbean version.
Abraham had a nephew named Lot who lived with his family.
Now I'll hand over to Wilma.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you, Ellie. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
How are we all doing? Good. Not everyone is the same, feeling the same, but we are doing some prayers later, so put your prayers on your petals, because we are going to do our prayers of intercession later together as an open prayer. So before we start, or further our service, I would like to introduce a little video on the Bible reading today, so we have an idea what Abraham's prayer is all about. So we are going to see that in a minute.
Abraham had a nephew named Lot, who lived with his family in the city of Sodom in Jordan. One day, when Abraham was sitting outside his house, he saw three people approaching. He immediately guessed that they were not normal humans and went out to meet them. Two of the men were angels, and the third was God himself. After Abraham greeted them, God spoke to him.
Abraham, the people of Sodom and the neighboring city of Gomorrah have become very evil. They are doing horrible things and do not respect me at all.
Sons and his descendants to obey me and to do what is right and just. If they do, I will do everything for him that I have promised. Then the Lord said to Abraham, there are terrible accusations against Sodom and Gomorrah, and their sin is very great. I must go down to find out whether or not the accusations which I have heard are true. Then two men left and went on towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Abraham approached the Lord and asked, are you really going to destroy the innocent with the guilty? If there are 50 innocent people in the city, will you destroy the whole city? Won't you spare it in order to save the 50? Surely you won't kill the innocent with the guilty. That's impossible. You can't do that. If you did, the innocent would be punished along with the guilty. That's impossible. The judge of all the earth has to act justly. The Lord answered, if I find 50 innocent people in Sodom, I will spare the whole city for their sake. Abraham spoke again. Please forgive my boldness in continuing to speak to you, Lord. I am only a man, and I have no right to say anything. But perhaps there will be only 45 innocent people instead of 50. Will you destroy the whole city because there are five too few? The Lord answered, I will not destroy the city if I find 45 innocent people. Abraham spoke again. Perhaps there will be only 40. He replied, I will not destroy it if there are 40. Abraham said, please don't be angry, Lord, but I must speak again. What if there are only 30? He said, I will not do it if I find 30. Abraham said, please forgive my boldness in continuing to speak to you. Lord. Suppose that only 20 are found. He said, I will not destroy the city if I find 20. Abraham said, please don't be angry, Lord, and I will speak just once more. What if only 10 are found? He said, I will not destroy it if there are 10. After he had finished speaking with Abraham, the Lord went away, and Abraham returned home. Thanks be to God for his word.
Amen. Thank you, Janine.
Can you hear me when I'm speaking like this? Yes? Okay, good. Just coming a bit lower, I find it's a bit too high up there sometimes. Many, many years ago, I lived in a flat with a balcony. And on the balcony, I had a chicken coop with two chickens. And one of the chickens was very adventurous. It wasn't an idea of my boyfriend at the time, I have to admit that. So anyway, Saturdays was the day that I was going to clean the coop out. So I opened a little door and I tried to push the chickens to one side and slide another little door so they couldn't escape and I could clean out one part of the coop. So that's what I did that Saturday morning, and my boyfriend, he was gone on a music practice, so I thought, that's great. So I opened a little door, and what happened? The adventurous chicken went out, and before I knew, he was sitting on the edge of the balcony and flew into the garden of our neighbors. Man, so what I did, I closed quickly the coop and went down to the neighbors and asked them if they could help me just catching the chicken in their garden. And they liked animals, so they were happy to help me. So we thought, okay, the three of us, we can just, you know, catch the chicken. Well, I don't know if you know chickens, but they can run very fast. So that is what this chicken did. He ran and ran, and then he disappeared somewhere in the bushes. I couldn't find him anymore. And because I was living above a shopping center, and it was Saturday, there were a lot of people shopping there. So I was going around, have you seen a chicken? Have you seen a chicken? Well, you could imagine the, you know, the smiles and the questioning faces of the people there, like, a chicken here in the shopping center, that's, you know, unheard of. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the chicken appeared again at one stage, and we thought, the neighbors and I, like, let's drive him to the water edge, because we had a little canal in front of our house. It's quite wide, though, but anyway, let's drive him to the water's edge. And for sure, he can't swim, you know. So that's what we thought. So anyway, so we drove him to the water's edge, but this chicken thought, no, I want my freedom, I want my freedom. And he was thinking, you could see him thinking, and then all of a sudden he started to fly over the canal. And we thought, no, he's not going to make it. And what happened? Yes, he did make it. He landed with his feet in the grass, and we run to the other side. Luckily, we had a little bridge to go over. And because he was still wobbly on his feet, he was wobbly on his feet, and the shock of it all, we could then catch him. So finally, we caught the chicken. But my goodness, it was an adventure, and it lasted for about 2 hours or something, you know, the whole thing. So, and I thought, because the chicken belonged to my boyfriend at the time. So I thought, no, if he comes back from his practice, I have to have that chicken back in his run, pretending nothing happened. So anyway, chicken back in the coop, and I didn't manage to clean it, of course. So anyway, I was thinking, this chicken closed the gap by flying over that little canal. Now, I was thinking, if this here, this path where we walk on, is a very wide river and is a very bad current, let's say. You don't like to swim in there. So, and if you are here and you want to go to the other side to meet a friend, now how would you do that? Have you got any ideas? Build a bridge. That is a very good idea. I was thinking about that as well. I think that's a very good answer. Any else? Paraglide. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, we can't fly, so that's one thing we can't do. So paragliding is an option. Yes. Anything else? Find a boat, yay. Yeah, it's a bit dangerous in the current, but yeah, I would find a sturdy boat, yeah. That was a good idea. Well, I'm going to make it a bit more difficult for you. So, now imagine you here on this side, you live in Jersey, right? So you can remember that very well. So you all live in Jersey, and you live on the other side of the world, all right? So that's a big gap, isn't it? Yeah. So your friend on the other side of the world needs your help now. What are you going to do? Give them a call, but what if they need some practical help? Or Hooray! Yay! Yes! That's a good idea. Because you can't get there. I mean, if they live in Australia and you have to take a few planes there, well, forget it. That takes a few days these days. So, yes, praying. That's the answer, isn't it? So today we're going to look at prayers of intercession. And that is what Abraham did as well. And how we can fill that gap for others. So I'm going to do a little talk about that now. And later on, we are going to pray all together, like an open prayer from the petals that you have on your tables. So prayers of intercession, they are prayers where we pray on behalf of others and bring them to God. Because like I said, if you live in Jersey and you live in Australia, you can't help your friends practically. You have to give it to God. We are standing in the gap between someone else who needs our help and the Lord. And when they can't do it on their own, of course. So with prayers of intercession, you allow the needs of others to take priority over your own personal needs. And do you know? It pleases God when we pray for the world and those around us. It pleases Him. And when a problem or the gap seems too big for us to solve, we turn to the power of this prayer of intercession. Why? Well, we can't fly like the chicken, can we? Because we have faith in our God. To intercede is to mind the gap between heaven and earth, or to intervene or mediate between two parties as the equal friend of both, pleading with God on behalf of people. This is what Pete Craig says in his book, How to Pray. And he also says secretly, we sometimes wonder whether our little prayers can make any actual difference in the face of very big uncontrollable problems, like a relative who is entirely resistant to the gospel, or a terminal diagnosis, or a government that is oppressing its citizens, or a tragedy, or a natural disaster. Our whispered prayers can seem feeble, foolish, and futile against the sheer scale of life's troubles, like a butterfly confronting a cliff. And yet, the Bible teaches us that our prayers are vastly powerful. Did you know that some of our most powerful and productive moments can happen on our knees, praying for someone else? And we see this very clear in Abraham's story of today. And although we are looking at Abraham as our example today, intercessory prayer is very common throughout the whole Bible, with many examples, including Jesus himself, who intercedes for others when he was on the cross. And he prayed for forgiveness for those who crucified him, when he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. These prayers, they highlight the importance of prayer for others. They show compassion, forgiveness, and seeking God's will. And in the story of Abraham's prayer, Abraham is standing in the gap between the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and God, where he pleads and tries to make a deal with God, not to destroy the good people in these very wicked cities. Now, Abraham was a man who trusted God entirely. Even when God told him one day that he had to pick up his family and all his possessions and leave the place of Ur of the Chaldeans, where he had a quite comfortable life. And God wanted him to go to a place he didn't know at all. But God would guide him there and bless him there. And Abraham followed.
the guidance of God. He also took his nephew Lot with him on his travels and his family as well to this promised land of Canaan. When they were there and they were together, the two families of Abraham and Lot, Abraham one day decided that his family and Lot's family should go their separate ways because they had big herds, they had lots of flocks with all sorts of animals, tents everywhere, and it was just a lot of people, two families together. And also the herdsmen started to quarrel together, and Abraham didn't want unrest in the camp. So he let Lot choose where he wanted to go. They were standing on a hill, and he said, well, look over here. Where would you like to go, Lot, with your family and all your possessions? And then Lot said, oh, I would like to go to the Jordan Valley, that green valley over there. So that is where Lot went. But that is also where the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were located. And unfortunately, these cities were some of the most wicked cities ever existed. Anyway, after the parting of the two families, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one day, and then he saw three men standing by, and he invited them in. He said, oh, come in, have something to eat, have some water to clean yourselves up, and he invited them. And we just saw those three men on the little video, and one of them was the Lord himself. And these men, they brought Abraham some very big news. They said to Abraham, you're going to have, with your wife Sarah, a son within 12 months. And this was very strange because, well, first of all, Sarah and Abraham couldn't get any children. But they were also very old. They couldn't get any children, naturally. But Abraham, he believed in God's promise. Now, when these men were leaving, after staying with Abraham, he saw them out on their travels, and then the Lord started to speak to him, saying that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what we just saw on the little video, and what Janine just read, because the people in those cities were super, super wicked. And it says in the Bible, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is very grave, that it will go down. The men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against God. And then Abraham pleads with God for mercy and asks him to spare Sodom from destruction. And he says, will not the judge of the earth do right? Abraham knew that God was the ultimate judge of all the earth and recognized God's position as the sovereign ruler over all. And he believed he was a good God who always did what was right. So despite the wickedness and sinfulness, Abraham approached the Lord and intercedes on behalf of the people who live there. He humbles himself before the Lord. He said, I'm just dust, I'm ashes, I'm just a man, he says. And this shows us as well that we can approach God in prayer. So when we draw to God to pray for others, we too must do so with a humble heart and the right attitude. The Bible says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when Abraham drew near to the Lord and spoke, he did so with reverence and respect. Yet he shows confidence in his relationship with the Lord. And so can we. Through Jesus, who is our intercessor, we can boldly come before the Lord as his children, knowing he will hear us and answer our prayers according to his perfect will. Abraham didn't want these wicked cities to be destroyed because Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his family were living there. And obviously, he is concerned about them. And in the same way that Abraham was concerned and prayed for Sodom and Lot's family, so should we intercede too on behalf of others when we are concerned about their well-being? What if the greatest act of love you could perform for someone is not an action, but a conversation with God on their behalf? So Abraham asks God to spare the whole city. If there are 50 good people, will you destroy the whole city, Abraham says? Even if they're 45, 40, 30, 20 maybe? And he goes down to 10 righteous people. And then God agreed to Abraham's plea, saying, for the sake of 10 good people, I will not destroy it. But search proved that there weren't even 10 righteous people to be found there. And eventually God decided to destroy the cities. But first he sent two angels on their way, the man who just visited Abraham, to save Lot and his family. So intercessory prayer shows concerns for the well-being of others. It reflects Christ's love and compassion for others. Prayers of intercession often involve seeking God's guidance as well, but also his wisdom and intervention in specific situations. It shows also faith in God's ability to hear and answer prayer, even in difficult circumstances. Like Abraham, we should humble ourselves before God, but at the same time be bold and trust God. We can pray big for nations, for leaders of nations, for things to change, for healing, for revival, you name it. Intercessory prayer can also involve asking for forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but for others, for those who are lost or struggling and in need to be saved. So when we pray for others, let us be bold and believe that God hears us and will answer our prayers. And let us seek his will. We just sung the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. And this is what we should pray, that God's will be done in the situation or person you are praying for, not just what we want to have done. And be clear about the things or persons you are praying for. Identify their specific needs or circumstances, and always ask the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers and intercede on your behalf. And I think that here in Bethlehem, we have seen many answers to prayers, isn't it? And to get answers to our prayers, what do we need to do? Keep on praying. Exactly. So be persistent. Don't give up praying for those who need it, even if you don't see immediate results. And that is why we are going to sing now, Don't Stop Praying. So let us join together with our next song, Don't Stop Praying.
What's your impossible, your I need a miracle? What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart without you? Beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop!
And on your tables, you have found your little themes that you're praying on. Yeah, Lord, we ask you for guidance in our prayers of intercession this morning.
We ask the Holy Spirit to come within us and so we can do our prayers for others. Lord, we ask you to teach us to pray and to show us your power, your love and compassion when we pray for others. So today I would like to start with the lost homeless children in India, children who walk the streets and don't have a place to go, and for those who are abused and have no parents, nowhere to go. I would also pray for the problem with drugs and addiction in Glasgow. It is an ongoing problem, and we just pray, Lord, that you can do something there, that this will cease totally in this city. I pray this in Jesus' name, and I would... Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to pray for all those who need our prayers, those who do not know you yet. We bring all these prayers, spoken and maybe still on the petals, before you now, knowing that you will hear them, act on them and answer them. Let us never stop praying for others. Help us to follow Abraham's example and continue to pray us to pray with boldness, trusting in your power and your love. Amen. Before we sing our next song, which is Father, I Place Into Your Hands, I would like to invite Paul, Diane and Jean to do a very short talk and show a little video about what they're going to do.
Well, I'd like you to be praying for us as we, Paul, Diane, myself, Caro Bois, and Sula Mate from Jersey Baptist Church, travelling to Israel on Friday next week. I'd just like you to keep us in your prayers the whole time as we prepare to go to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, which we're also excited about. Mixed with a little bit of trepidation too, obviously.
Paul says he's not going to say anything. He'd be pleased to know. Just to ask you to pray for us all. Safe travel. The travel's quite complicated this time, so we've got several different flights and several different countries. We're going via Amsterdam and Germany before we get to Tel Aviv. We'll be back here on the Sunday, the 12th. Of October. So if you just hold us in your prayers for safe travel and for all those from all over the world traveling to Jerusalem for this special feast. Thank you very much.
When are you going?
Friday to 10 days. Yeah.
Thank you. Are you going to share with us?